Good morning. Welcome to Irwin First United Methodist Church. I want to begin worship today with a line from Deuteronomy. It's a passage talking about predicting the coming of Christ. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. That promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let us remember that Christ is truly our Lord and Savior as we worship today.
Please stand for the call to worship. Come to Christ, that living stone, rejected by the world, but in God's sight chosen and precious.
We have responded to Christ's call. We seek to live a living reminder of God's presence on earth.
We have heard a prophet's cry. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people, called out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Therefore, we sing with the church in all ages. Blessed be your name, O God, our Redeemer. By your mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Please remain standing for our hymns of praise, numbers 2022 and 2023.
Mercy. scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 13. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if one loves God, one is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father from whom are all things and for whom we exist, in one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through being hitherto accustomed to idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. Only take care lest this liberty of yours somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, a man of knowledge, at table in an idol's temple, might he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak man is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died, thus sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of my brother's falling, I will never eat meat, lest I cause my brother to fall. The responsive reading is number 832, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them. Who has caused his wonderful works to be remembered? The Lord is gracious and merciful. The Lord has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations. The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name.
We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us today, especially those who are visiting. As I am sharing our announcements, please fill out the red register pad in each pew. You can write any joys and concerns on the cards in the red register pad so that the ushers can bring them forward. The Good Grief Support Group will be meeting on this Wednesday, February 1st at 7 o'clock. If it's going to be the first time you're attending, please call to let them know you're coming. Attendance has been building, and we encourage anyone who needs to come and join. For the winter soup sale, they are still looking for soup makers to make soup to sell after the services in January and February. If you would like to make a soup, please contact Beverly McDonald. The Greensburg District School for Lay Ministry Development will be beginning on February 26th. It will be held each Sunday through March 25th from 2 to 5 at Community United Methodist Church. Registration forms are on the half door by the office and must be returned to the district office no later than February 15th. On Sunday, February 5th, we will be celebrating Super Bowl Sunday at our church. In addition to soup, the food bank is asking for numerous other items that you can find in your bulletin. If you would like to donate non-perishable items, the shopping cart will be in the narthex during both services next Sunday. And Diane has two announcements.
Last year, in the middle of winter. The witness committee sponsored a family movie night, and we saw Amazing Grace. And it was a real success. We were in the parlor, and a good crowd turned out. So we decided we're going to do it again this year. And the movie is Wesley the Movie, and it's very similar to Amazing Grace as far as the characters and the acting, the feel of the movie. And it is on February 10th, which is a Friday night, at 6:31 p.m. It's an odd time, so you remember it, okay? And everyone's invited. It's going to be in the parlor unless we get too crowded and a little too cozy and we have to move into the sanctuary. There will be a dessert time afterwards. If you are able to help out and make a dessert, you need to see Wendell. Wendell's over here. So you can let him know if you can make a dessert to share with everyone. And we hope that you'll come. It's a wonderful movie. I was pleased to be watching. I got on their mailing list somehow or other, so for the last 2 or 3 years, watching them as they started making this movie, and it's won numerous awards in the Christian movie making business, so I think you'll really enjoy the movie. All right, my next announcement concerns the Living Last Supper. There are still a few of you actors, I'm looking over here, who have not let me know for sure if they're interested in continuing, and we have new faces in our congregation, so I'm going to ask if there are any men out there from teenagers up who would like to be part of the cast. If you would see me today and let me know that you're interested, and we can take it from there. Also, ladies, we're going to need, since you can't really be one of the disciples at the Last Supper table, we do need help with costumes. Maybe there might be some sewing or altering we need to do this year, but we also need help on the nights of the production, which are during Holy Week, Tuesday and Thursday of Holy Week. And we will need help getting the men in their costumes and making any last-minute adjustments. We're going to need help setting the working the set, putting the food out, setting the table, and all that kind of stuff, and cleaning up afterwards. So if you're able to do any of these jobs, let me know, and I'd be glad to put you on a committee. Singers, those people who are interested in coming to sing just for the Last Supper. Last year we had 38 or 39 singers behind the scenes. I'd like to have to order more books this year. So if you know anyone in the community, we had a lot of people from outside the community coming in to sing. If you know someone who would like to sing, we'll start those rehearsals February 23rd, which is the first Thursday of Lent. And the practices will be at 8 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Unless it's really cold up here, we go down to the choir room. So that'll begin February 23rd. While we're talking February, mark on your calendars now, Ash Wednesday, February 22nd, we will be having a special service here in the sanctuary, I believe at 7 o'clock, and it will be similar to last year's, very meditative type service. People seem to really get a lot out of it last year, so I would hope that you would plan to attend this year. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? The peace of Christ be with you. Please stand and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbors.
Good morning, everyone. We have a big group here today. Wow. So today I wanted to talk to you guys about, do any of you have any favorite movies or favorite? Nightmare Before Christmas?
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. That's my favorite too.
Aladdin.
Aladdin, oh, that's an excellent movie. What was that?
Hoodwink 2.
Hoodwink 2. I haven't seen that one. Anybody else? What was that?
I have another.
You have another one? What's that?
Hocus
Pocus. Oh, that's an excellent Halloween movie. That was one I had to make. Me and Carol had to make a special trip out the one Halloween to go get it because we couldn't find it on any channels. And we're like, it's Halloween. We have to watch Hocus Pocus. So in these stories, like, who are some of the main characters? Like, who's Beauty and the Beast? Who's the hero? Or, like, who would be kind of like the Beast? What about some of the other ones? Who'd win two? Little Red Riding Hood. What's some of the other ones? Aladdin would probably be Aladdin, I guess. That one's kind of... Jasmine, yeah. Any others? Forget, whichever. What else did we... Nightmare Before Christmas.
Jack.
I like that name. He is a good name. Yeah, it is because my name's Jack. So whenever you guys... Do you guys ever go out and pretend that you are some of those characters whenever... Yeah?
No.
No? Did you ever do that before?
I did it with my friends.
You have?
Hocus Pocus on Halloween.
You did that? Okay, for Hocus Pocus. Anybody else? No? Okay. Yeah, for those stories, it's always exciting to kind of pretend that you're the hero person from the stories. Like, I don't know, and people normally don't fight over who gets to be the extra guy or the sidekick or some of the other roles or like the people that are maybe even some roles where you're just like a bystander. Nobody wants to be the bystander. That'd be boring. Why would you want to play that? But so what are some of the extra characters in those stories? Ones that are maybe overlooked.
Yeah.
Belle. Well, Belle's kind of a main one though. She's kind of like the Beauty and the Beast. She's the, you know,
Beauty.
Yeah.
Wolf.
The wolf. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, the guy that follows in Beauty and the Beast, the guy that follows Gaston around all the time. When I think of him, I always think of that song in the words. No one. And then I won't sing for everybody, that'll be scary.
Jack's dog.
Jack's dog. Oh yeah, Jack's dog is probably a good great example there. Yeah, so there's a lot of roles in these stories, and I mean, and they're important. You need the people that are the sidekicks. You need the people that are all those other things. And whenever it comes to the Bible, it's more important actually to remember those because that's kind of the roles that we oftentimes play. And so just it's about remembering just how important it is to some, even just the littlest roles in some of the Bible stories, how important they can be. Let's pray. What was that? Oh, okay. All right, let's pray. Father God, we ask your presence with us today. We ask that your will be done here. We ask that you help us to see how important some of the little roles can be and how much of an honor they can really be. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I have bulletins and cups here. Let's see, I hope we have enough. We should have enough cups. We're still going to be collecting money for Bethany House. What I want you guys to do today is I want a couple people to kind of go around the side aisles here so to try to get to everybody. So try to split up through all the three aisles here. And when you're done, take it to the back. Okay, here. There's the edges. Okay. Okay.
Is there anything that you're afraid of?
I don't really want to say.
Anyone else?
I'm afraid of the dark.
I'm afraid of the storm.
Yeah, storms can be pretty scary. Okay. Maybe if you want to sing about it, maybe it would make us feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now's the time for any joys or concerns. Is there any joys or concerns? If anyone wants to. Okay. I have one up here of saying that the one of the vases of flowers here today is in honor of Diane's birthday tomorrow. It was given by her loving family. And then we have one here that we work together in Christian love to do God's will. I really like that. I think we should sing happy birthday for Diane. I think so. What does everybody else think? Yeah? All right. Let's.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you today in worship, and we ask your presence with us. We ask you to be with all the songs that we sing, to be there in the words that we speak, to be there in the words that we hear, helping us and guiding us to listen so that we know what it is that is your will, Lord God, and what you want us to hear. Speak to us through this service and let us serve you. Let it be about your glory. We pray, Lord God, for all the blessings in our lives. We pray for even the simple opportunity to be here to serve you today, to be here to worship. We pray for all those around the world that are in pain today. You know what their needs are, Lord God, and we ask your comforting hand in their lives. We pray for all those who haven't heard the good news of Christ. We ask that you help us to carry that news to those that need it, to those that haven't had that opportunity. We also have many that are on the prayer list. You know what their needs are, Lord God. We ask you to be there and to help them in any way that you can, in any way that they need. We ask that you take them into your loving embrace and be there for them. You know the things also on our hearts, Lord God, the things that we may not think to pray for, but that we really should, things in our lives that we really need you present for. We ask your presence for all of that. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do, and pray all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if the ushers could please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and offering and our offerings.
God of surprises, you grab our attention in the midst of life's crises and reversals. Those who are at the end of their rope, vulnerable and hurting, see most clearly that you alone are our source of life and hope. As we return to you these gifts for your work in the world, we covenant with you to live as part of your blessing on others, as a manifestation of your love. We pray this through your grace shown us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. The scripture reading today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. The word of the Lord. They came to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, he cried out, "What have you done to us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of the Lord for the people of God. In the scripture today, Jesus is in Capernaum. I always have trouble pronouncing that one. And he's teaching. This is very early in Jesus' ministry. It's when the story gets to his teaching itself that something really stands out to us today. It's that people are amazed enough to be talking about how much authority he's speaking with, that something to them was standing out back then. Just imagine it for a moment. Imagine the power he must have spoke with. The people are openly talking about it. The authority in his voice had to be strong and confident to come across that way. But there's much more than that going on there. It also had a lot to do with him being looked at as a scribe and what he said in that role. To understand the people's reaction, we have to first kind of get a little bit of background on the scribes. They were literally students of the scripture. If we go by the word that was used in the time of Jesus, it was a Jewish position of studying the laws of scripture. They were the lawyers of the Jewish culture. And people would go to them whenever they had any questions about matters of Jewish law. So if any of you have questions about Jewish law and happen to be hanging out back in biblical times, you just need to find your local scribe, and they can answer your questions. It's very important if you somehow end up in that position. Being a scribe is very similar to the modern-day scholars or professors that study these various topics. On every paper or book or even teaching in a class, they use references. And the authority of what they say is built on the authority of 50 other people researching the same topic. When I write papers, even as just a student, I have to provide a good number of references to back up what I say. And then even then, usually the answers are not as clear as you want. It isn't a cut and dry answer, especially when dealing with scriptures, both from the New Testament and the Old. I have one book that its whole purpose is to give the generally accepted grade, and they actually have a grading system of A through D for the likelihood of which version of the ancient Greek texts are closer to the original. And so then, you know, like A would be, they're pretty sure, B as well, they think so, but they're not really sure, and so on. And they do this for all the different variations that you might find for scriptures in Greek. In my one class at seminary, there was a student. This was my first year, and I remember that student being very upset about this. And it was a class on the Gospels. There were a lot of things we learned in that class that I think really don't matter as much to our faith, but I think they're interesting at least. And one of the things discussed was how likely it was that each gospel was wrote by the author they say. Matthew for Matthew, Mark for Mark, and so on. For me, I'm not sure it matters what percent likelihood that a gospel was wrote by who it says, because my faith is really, it's really on Christ, and it's not based on who wrote what book in what name. But this particular professor is one that I found that most books, commentaries, and so on, whenever you're talking about Matthew, he's referenced. Some have even told me that he's the best when it comes to understanding the study of the book of Matthew. And so after he had said that it was most likely that Matthew wrote Matthew, that it was maybe a 75% likelihood that he was the author, a student looked up from her notes and said, "Wait, so did he or did he not write it?" And the professor tried to explain that most studies would show that it is likely, but it's not complete. They're not completely sure. But the student really persisted, really wanted a cut and dry answer of if it was or wasn't, with no qualifications. And so she said, "So he did then." And he explained again, "Well, most scholars tend to lean toward that way," but this persisted for a little bit back and forth. And I don't think there was ever a clear solution reached between the professor and the student. But this was similar to what scribes might run into themselves. Like the passage was saying, scribes didn't speak directly with authority, but instead they were usually reinforcing what they said by referencing others, by referencing other scribes. They would defer the authority to any other writings by other scribes or things that they said or teachers that they had. So like my professor, they would not be speaking with 100% surety on the topic. They'd be saying in some fancy way for back then that this is probably what this means, or this is most likely what that means, or this is most likely who wrote that. Jesus did not speak this way. He knew the scriptures much better than that. He knew them not just from studying the writings of others, and he didn't, or not by just the works of other scribes. He spoke with authority that wasn't of a scribe. He spoke with a surety in things that amazed the people enough that they would comment about it. He didn't muddy the waters with any kind of teaching that with most likelies and probablys and this is what most scribes would agree on. He stated the scriptures and their meanings with true power and authority. I mean, the phrase "my word is law" comes to mind, because really what he said was how the law was. When I first read the scripture passage and I got to the part about authority, it really made me remember some things and times where people had looked on to me as one with authority. And for me, that's a really scary thing. I'm an introvert. I kind of shy away from the authority roles. At least I try to. But amazingly, this happened mainly with my family and friends, and was mainly after I had answered my call to pastoral ministry and started at seminary. It was all of a sudden, anytime my family got together, like we'd get together for Thanksgiving, "Hey, Jack, why don't you pray?" Or, "Hey, Jack, why don't..." And so for every time we got together, that's the way it was. When traditionally, it was either my grandfather or my grandmother or, you know, one of the older members of my family that kind of took that role. And it's still a little awkward for me, but I'm getting a little better with it. But it's a role of authority that was kind of assumed in me after I started seminary. I think the most awkward was during a Bible study with a person that I actually had grown up knowing. I grew up knowing him my whole life. And he was always the one that was, like, in Sunday school, he paid attention. I mean, he studied the Bible. He could probably quote scriptures that I could never dream of remembering. And looking back, you know, I was the kid that was crawling under the table. I was crawling on the table. I was kicking my neighbor. I was throwing stuff at the teacher. I was a terror. And so for me, I wasn't really paying much attention growing up in Sunday school. But so every time we would run into a question during this Bible study, he would respond by saying, "Well, Jack knows more about this than I do, but I think it..." And so my call to ministry came a little late. And so for this was my first year of seminary. And my call came right before that in my senior year of undergrad, where I was working on a degree in communications, emerging tech, and multimedia. Nothing to do with pastoral ministry, really. At least not anything preparing me for seminary or working on my Master of Divinity. And so he had a lot more experience than I did. But all of a sudden, he was looking on to me with that sense of authority. And it was really awkward for me. Even without those recent experiences to jog my memory, I think my inclination to relate to Jesus that way, to always kind of see myself in the role of the hero of a story, I think that's something that's ingrained in our culture. We want to relate to that hero of the story or the main character. We want to be that hero in some instances. I talked with the kids about pretending and playing, and you know, weren't normally fighting over who got to be the sidekick. You especially were not fighting over who got to be the innocent bystander in the story and get to stand off to the side and witness everything. Those would be boring roles a lot of times to kind of take part in. So if we're going to get into a story when we're reading a book, I think that's something that's necessary. It's something that we do. We want to relate to the main character and compare it to our lives. And this isn't a bad thing for fictional literature. This is not a bad thing for secular movies or books. It's not a bad thing even when relating to Jesus as a model of how to live. Really, all of those can be very good natural inclinations for ourselves. But, I mean, one thing I've always found is often in even secular material, I a lot of times find examples that kind of remind me how to live out my faith. The problem is whenever we see ourselves in other roles and or when we don't see ourselves in other roles in the Bible stories. The scripture today speaks of people that were there talking about the power and authority that Christ was speaking. We could do worse than to think of ourselves in that role. To see ourselves as people that are truly amazed by the power and authority of Christ. Right after that, there's an unclean spirit in a man that speaks out saying, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You know, we could do worse than to think of ourselves in that man's role. A man that Christ saved, not just in the end by dying for his sins, but also by removing the evil spirit. It's something special to think of ourselves as worthy of God in the flesh. Worthy of Jesus Christ, caring enough that he wants to save us. Or even just to imagine ourselves in the role of being present in one of the first amazing acts of our Lord and Savior. I mean, wow, to be present whenever he first did that, when he first spoke with that authority. That would be something. At the end of this piece of scripture, it tells people about people spreading his fame throughout Galilee. This is not only a position in the story that's really an honor to be part of, but it's something that we are called very specifically to do if we're to follow Christ. We should be spreading the word to everyone, telling them the good news of Christ, telling people that Christ is the Messiah. To be Christians, we don't need to be the hero of the story. We don't just relate to Jesus and his experience. To do that can be good, but we can really miss something. We can miss out on how much of an honor and opportunity it is just to be the people Christ is addressing, to be the one saved by him, to even have the honor and opportunity of spreading the good news of Christ. It isn't about being obligated to do these things. It's not about an obligation to serve Christ or something that we do even though we really don't want to. We should really want to fill these roles. We should see how amazing it is to have those chances, to see how lucky we are that God loves us that much. So when we leave here today, I challenge you to go out and take advantage of that privilege we have in serving Christ. Whether that means spreading good news, helping the less fortunate, praying for those in need, admitting we need help ourselves, or even simply sitting here and worship together, it's all part of serving Christ. It's an honor to serve him, and we should be proud that we have the chance to do so, that we can play that role. Amen.
Okay. Please stand for hymn number 174. And 176.
Go with the peace, knowing that God loves you enough to send Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.